This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 30th, episode 2259, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Florida is on high alert. Hurricane Dorian has gained strength overnight, and it is heading directly at Florida.
Starting to gain strength now out near the Bahamas, just to the northeast of the Bahamas, moving to the northwest at 12 miles per hour. Max winds are at 105. It will likely become a Category 3 hurricane later today or by tomorrow, strengthening to a monster Category 4 storm during the day Sunday, maybe as early as tomorrow, as it makes a track toward Florida, most likely making landfall late Monday or early Tuesday morning somewhere on the southern or central coast of Florida before turning north up the peninsula.
And here we go again. Does it sounded like a broken record on this show over the last couple of years.
Oh, man. It's just you make fun of me for tornadoes, but no. Tornadoes come and go. Y'all are going to stay for a while. But you know what? Currently, I'm just in case I have to exit quickly. We are, if you were to zoom out on a map right now of the state of Oklahoma, we're completely covered and I'm in like this eye of this twister nightmare that's completely covering Oklahoma. So lightning comes, I have to go. Apparently, I don't want to wear headphones and lightning.
Well, or twister. Says Glenn. That doesn't work either.
There's no twisters, just lightning.
So you're getting storms. We're going to get a storm.
Yeah, yep. It's pretty much we live in the two worst places on the planet.
So this is actually a special hurricane episode. We did this a similar episode actually about 2 years ago, right before Irma, and it was 2 weeks from now. It would be the time that Irma took out the whole state of Florida, and now we're looking at Dorian taking out the whole state of Florida. So I'll give you some things that happened around here, and then we're going to make a call. We're going to talk to Emily, who's down in Wellington. Of course, she is the host of the jumping episode here once a month. She is in Wellington trying to find secure housing for her horses. She's moving 12 horses today, but she said she could chat with us for about 5 minutes. And Wellington right now, the way the storm, the models this morning had this storm coming right over Wellington, the eye of the storm hitting Boynton Beach, where Jemmy lives, and Wellington, where Emily lives. So they're all scrambling down there. So we're going to check in with both of them to find out how things are, how crazy it is down there right now. And then we're going to have a report for you that we did actually 2 years ago, right before Irma, from Dr. Jimenez and John Haven of the Florida SART, Florida SART. So they're going to come on and talk to us about what to do as far as evacuation and hurricanes and all of that stuff. When I listened back to this, I was going to get them on again. And when I listened back, it's the exact same thing they would have said today. This
perfect.
It's perfect. It's the exact same situation, actually, that we had. We have Karen from Kentucky Performance Products coming on to talk about hay. And yes, we will do some really bad ads. So we have all of that coming up on today's show. We're going to try right now and get we're doing this live without a producer because Jennifer is working on other things right now in our hurricane preparation. And I got a funny story to tell you before we do that. So we're now expecting, as far as Ocala, for those that are wondering, we're expecting it on the current path. If it doesn't change course, we shouldn't get it till Tuesday or Wednesday. And then this is such a slow-moving storm, Jamie. We could see 5 days of torrential rains. It's that slow-moving. They're saying it will only move 50 miles a day, which means there are some parts of Florida that are going to receive hurricane-force winds for up to 36 hours. So, and even as it comes in the bottom of the state and moves up the state, we in Ocala could still experience hurricane force winds even after all that time. So we're making plans about what we're going to do and where it hit. And if it hits a little further north on the coast, then it's worse for the Ocala area. So we might be bugging out the Charlottes again.
I was watching the news. There's just so much speculation involved in predicting hurricanes. Yeah. I mean, it's just, is it going to, how fast is it going to be? Is it going to be worse if it does that? Is it going to be better? Is it going to help out? Is it going to, I was watching the news last night and I'm like, oh my God, they're just constantly making guesses.
Well, and if you
you're in it, you don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Irma last time changed course in the last 3 days, changed course about 12 times. The night before it hit land, it completely changed course. Yeah. So you know, this could do that too. We're going to prepare that if we have to move the horses over to Charlotte's, like we did last time, because she has a concrete block barn with these heavy steel doors at the ends and stuff, we will do that. We'll move the horses over and keep them safe. So don't worry about Scooter and Nigel. They'll be fine. Charlotte's going to take care of us. They have a big head.
Are you taking little Pablo with you?
And yeah, Pablo and they would come along as well. Pablo and Liam would come along. Although they haven't been loaded in a trailer in about 4 years. So we'll see how
that goes. A good time to start is when you're evacuating. Yeah, for a hurricane.
Exactly. Ace is going to be our friend, I think, there. But the, so yesterday I got a funny story. By the way, gas stations already without gas. Does this sound familiar? In Ocala and all over the state. So this is the same problem we had last time. They haven't even ordered evacuations yet, and there are gas stations without gas.
That's so, because so many people got screwed last time getting stuck
on
the
roads. Everybody went and got the gas early. But the state also said, oh, we're going to be ready for the next hurricane. We're going to have gas situated everywhere. We'll see how that goes. So they're expected to maybe start ordering evacuations down where Jemmy is today. And then they'll turn the roads all heading north. The 95 and 75 will just be one way. But that's
oh my God, really?
Yes, they turn them all one way. All lanes are going the same direction. So we'll see how that goes again. That was a nightmare last time. Traffic was backed up for hours and hours and hours. So yesterday I went out in the morning. I got our gas, filled up our truck and all that, got our stuff at the Walmart. There were so many people. It was 7 o'clock in the morning at the Walmart and the place was packed with old people. And some of them looked mighty lost, like they were just hanging out in the aisles. It's like, get out of my way, I'm shopping.
That's so, just a Walmart.
Yeah, there's no water anywhere. And they made an announcement that a truck had come in with a couple pallets of water, go out to the front of the building. Oh my God, it was like a stampede. So everybody out to the front of the building, within 10 minutes, all the water was gone. And there's like not bottled water to be found anywhere in this state right now. So yesterday I get home, I pull in the driveway. It's perfectly calm, beautiful Florida, hot Florida day. The landlord is out riding her horse in a lesson behind our house in the arena. And I just get out of the car and I hear this loud crack. And I look over and one of the neighbor's large oak trees came crashing down to the ground. I mean, this huge crash. And of course, the poor landlord got dumped because the horse just freaked. It was loud. I watched this tree come down and I'm like, it's a beautiful day. Hurricane's not even here yet. So then Jennifer goes out to ride after that. And in the woods beside us, a huge tree came down. Now, it wasn't windy at all. So we figure they're committing suicide. They heard the hurricane's coming and they're gone. Oh, we're not doing that again. We're just gonna commit suicide and die. So we got trees coming down, not even a breath of air. So that was what happened yesterday.
Wow.
It was crazy. All right. Let's try and call Emily here and see if we can get her on. I know she's in trying to get her horses moved to stronger barns. I don't know what kind of barn you need for 140 mile an hour winds, but
an underground one. No, because then you drowned.
So Andrew was the closest thing that came across a long time ago. Andrew came across Southern Florida. You probably remember that. You were living in Atlanta then. Mm-hmm. Andrew came across Southern Florida, and it was a little bit bigger than this, but it destroyed 65,000 houses. So it's a big one. Are you still okay? No lightning yet?
I think so. It keeps like it's swirling around us.
Okay. Just checking. All right, we'll see if Emily answers it or not. If not, we'll just call, we'll give Jimmy a call.
We never did Daily Winnies or anything.
This is a special episode.
This is your cop-out episode.
That's right.
We do whatever we want.
That's right.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 5, 6.
All right, I'm going to give Jimmy a try. She's also down that way. She's right. She literally lives 5 minutes from the beach where it's going to hit.
Yay. So she was living.
As this morning, she was talking about evacuating, but in a moment. So for live listeners that are just joining us, we did start a little early today. And it's not because of me. It's because of Jamie.
Yeah. I didn't want to get elected. I'm like, oh, well, just so you know, there's a storm around us. And Glenn's like, oh, if lightning strikes, you better not be wearing headphones. You could die. So that was fun.
Why do you think I always, when it gets really bad, say, okay, we're going now? Plus, you should unplug your computers. So that's the other thing.
True.
So now we're calling Jemmy, our producer, who lives down in Boynton Beach. If you look where the storm's coming in, Boynton Beach would be right in the middle of it.
Hello.
Hello, Jemmy. You got Jamie and I.
Hi.
You're live.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
I think it's a total crap cop-out that you're not producing today's show. Whatever.
Yeah, because number one, I normally produce on Friday, if not. And number two, there's no hurricane coming.
So, Jemmy, I assume you've seen the maps of where they're predicting the hurricane to come, and Boynton Beach is like right in the middle of it.
Yeah, we're like target number one, guys.
Yeah.
Yay, beach living.
Beach living.
Happy days.
What is it like down there? You told me a little bit about what it was like yesterday. What is it like?
The madness is real, guys. It's already started. I mean, it's just as an example. So yesterday, all I wanted to do was make a quick stop at my P.O. box. Just to check and see, are there any checks in there that I need to get into my bank before all this hurricane madness happens? So I pull in, I had to make a U-turn to get into my P.O. box, the post office. What I didn't anticipate or think about was that this same turn also pulled into a gas station. So I was stuck in this stupid line for at least 40 minutes. It was awful. And people were honking and you know, putting the finger out at each other. Like, it was just crazy.
Nothing like a sense of, you know, disaster to bring the community together.
Shared support. None of that. None of that. Even though I will say massive kudos to the stores down here, because I think they finally figured out that this happened. So they finally figured out ways to deal with it. So, like, I went to Publix, and I get in there, and I saw a couple people with packs of water in their carts, and so that's the first aisle I went to, and the shelves are completely cleared. I'm like, oh, I must have just missed them. And so I go around, I get everything else I needed, and then what I realize is, no, there's a huge, massive pallet of water that Publix had set up in the front of the store with, I'm surprised they weren't armed, but two managers there, like, for crowd control. And they wouldn't let people take more than two packs of water at a time. And so it was really well controlled and everything. And you know me, I'm always thinking of others. And so I was like, well, I'll just take one. Then I'm like walking away. I'm like, I don't want to be regretful. Let me take two. And then I get home and I open up the cabinet to store the two massive packs of water I bought and realize there are already two massive packs of water in my shelf that I've forgotten I'd already bought.
You've got plenty of water then.
Guys. So it was just craziness in the stores. Yeah.
Have the gas stations up here already running out of gas? Same down there?
Oh, yeah. So I went to, thankfully, just for no apparent reason, just a coincidence, I filled up my tank like two nights ago. And so when I thought maybe I should just top it off. You know, I've been all over the Tri-County area. Let me top it off. So I couldn't find a gas station that had gas. It was crazy. So then this morning after I dropped Jordan off at school, I had noticed that the Wawa had a line. So this morning I went to the Wawa line. holy cow. Okay, I know I gave Publix kudos, but Wawa has got it together for being
What's
new.
Wawa?
Wawa's a very large chain of mini markets here, but yeah, they're very well run, very well done mini markets.
And I think they're new to Florida. Like,
yes.
I've only seen them pop up in the last year, so they already have it. They already have it figured out. I mean, they had two lines to get in. They had blocked off two entrances. You could only choose one of two lines to get in. And then each line had a staff member out there directing traffic, saying, okay, go to this pump, go to this pump. I mean, it was like the most easygoing experience ever. No one yelled at me. No one like cut in front of me. It was so nice. But yeah, so kudos to the stores. Because without them, like, the chaos would be even greater. But I'm starting to get nervous for the first time in a long time. You know, I didn't, like, back when Irma hit 2 years ago, you'll remember I was up at HRN doing my training.
That's right.
At HRN headquarters. Yeah, and the only reason I got nervous was just the thought of not being able to get home to my son in time and be with him. Now I'm actually getting nervous because this storm looks nasty. I mean, it's going to hit us at like a Cat 3, Cat 4.
So
are you
evacuating? Are you going to go north?
Well, okay. So my options are the following. One is to return to Camp HRN and take shelter inland in Florida. Two, to drive up to the Carolinas. My friend up there has offered to put literally me, my son, my mom, my dad, and my brother all up, which is pretty awesome. So I don't know yet. I think if I'm ordered to evacuate, clearly I'll evacuate. But if I'm not ordered, I honestly might shelter in place only because the buildings I live in are so old and they're all concrete block. I mean, they've been here since the 70s. So I'm like, okay, they might be good to go. And my bedroom closet is all internal walls, so we'll see, but I don't know yet. I haven't decided. I worry if I evacuate, like, how difficult is it going to be for me to get home? And, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not in a financial situation to be able to put off work for a week or two, so.
You can work from South Carolina. They have internet. You'll be fine.
This is true. I don't know.
Keep in mind that Andrew came through and destroyed 65,000 houses down there. So,
yep, I remember clearly. My brother actually flew somewhat through Andrew. It was quite a traumatic moment for our entire family. He was returning from a trip to Haiti at that day. So yeah, that was craziness. We were in Orlando on a business trip with my dad. And we left the hotel because my mom couldn't stand to not be in Miami to greet my brother when he arrived, hopefully in one piece. And so we were the only idiots driving south on the first night that day and got about 10 minutes in and realized that we can't get anywhere. So we turned back around. My dad headed back to the hotel, which now had a line wrapping around it, and begged and pleaded, and they got us right back in. So it's always chaos. It's always craziness. We just got to take it one step at a time, you know?
Well, I think you'll hear by noon today, they're saying you'll start to hear about evacuations in your area. So I think that... Well, good luck and be safe, okay?
Thank you for thinking of me, guys. And Jamie, thank you for the guilt trip about not producing this morning.
Love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it. Stay neutered or guilt. Hawk out ahead for you.
Nice. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Jimmy. All right. I did hear from, I heard back from Emily, who is in Wellington with all the horses. So let's get a report on how things are going down in Wellington as far as the horse end of things are concerned.
Hey, while you're dialing that, yep. Little Marvel, my little foster dog, is getting spayed tomorrow.
Oh, really?
So there. I live what I preach.
There you go.
So excited.
You mean the dog you're not supposed to have?
Well, she's now associated with the rescue. I'm fostering her. And so as soon as she's spayed, I can start taking her to the adoptions.
Hey, Emily.
Hey, girl. How are you?
I'm good. Still alive.
Emily, first of all, last report we gave on you, you were sick as hell. Is that any better?
You know what? It's gotten so much better. But I go up and down. You know how it is. So, like, yesterday, I actually had kind of a rough day and had to go back into the ER for fluids. That was fun. My symptoms, I get GI symptoms with my Lyme and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. But I'm riding. You know what? I'm riding, and I'm currently prepping for a hurricane, so I can't be that sick. I'm doing it.
Speaking of which, we just talked to Jemmy, who's down right below you in Boynton Beach. And as you know, you're in the eye of the hurricane of 140 mile an hour winds. What are you doing with your horses, girl?
That's the most frequented asked question, I believe, the day. I'm right now about to do a horse trial for somebody that flew in. And I keep telling everybody, after this, in about an hour, I will put my full attention on it. I have stalls somewhat reserved. You know, it just, you know how it is when you have so many, and we only have a few people on staff, and just, you don't want to split everybody up because you need to really stay with the horses. So right now I've got 10 in my count. So I've got, I did reserve some stalls that I don't think are ideal, but I'm going to keep looking. But, you know, that's it. I mean, at this stage, I think we passed the moment of maybe we're not going to get anything. So, you know, everybody's panicking. There's no gas. There's no water. Everything's off the shelves. You know, I like to shop in the third wave. The first wave, everything's gone. And then the second wave. And then, you know, once you get a little closer, then all of a sudden there's gas and everything on the shelves. So I don't know. I may be cutting it down to the wire. I filled up with diesel last night. There's diesel everywhere here. That's about it.
Yay for diesel. Finally.
I know. Like, I guess, I don't know. I'm like somewhat prepared, but you know, after doing it for quite a few years like this, I mean, it's materials, it's location. There's plenty of stalls down here. People open up their barns. Everybody's so helpful. So I'm not really that worried about it.
You have a safe house. Will you stay with the horses or will you stay at your house?
We're going to stay with the horses. We're going to have two people on 10 horses.
And because you'll be in a concrete block barn more than likely, which the worst case scenario there is the roof comes off.
Exactly. Yeah. For sure. And a lot of these barns, you know, they've been here for a long time. So, but yeah, with so many, and that's just in my personal count with like my customers and everything. And if I have to take Bertrand's or other people, then I've got probably 15 in my count. So we just have to, we're going to stay with the horses. You know, it's too many. You can't, who knows how long we'll be stuck, but, I don't know. I feel fairly prepared. I feel like we've done a little dance the last couple of years. So we'll see. I'm feeling positive.
Is the horse community down there taking this seriously?
You know what? They really are. And they really, really are. So that is, I would say, a little bit different than last year. Last year, wasn't that last year that we...
2 years ago, Irma.
2 years. Right. Yeah. And so then, like, you know, everybody who wasn't here was taking it seriously, which is unhelpful. So where everybody was getting phone calls, you know, you're like, hey, run for your lives like this, you know. But none of the horse people down here really were. They were like not. So I think now... I do notice a pretty big difference. People are taking it very serious, and you know we're in a little ahead of schedule for people to be so locked into stalls and everything like this. But as I call around, they are, so that's good, you know, because it is serious, and there's a lot of horses down here, and maybe it doesn't happen as bad as it could, but it might, and there's no reason to not be prepared. And at this stage, we're going to get something decent, and. We all know Wellington is in a swamp. So.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. We're expecting 25 to 30 inches of rain. This is so slow moving that they're expecting in your area, you could see hurricane force winds of over 100 miles an hour for up to 36 hours.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah. So, and I don't, Jamie, have you ever been to Wellington and Loxahatchee down that area?
I visited a long time ago, so let's just go.
It's a freaking swamp. Is it? You get 30 inches of rain.
Yeah, we're actual wetlands here. You get a little bit of rain or even during surge. I mean, it's going to flood like crazy for sure. But I mean, all these barns have been here, or not all of them, but the real strong ones have been here, you know, through Andrew and everything, the older ones. But yeah, we'll be in a real, you know, Cat 5 strength barn. People, horses, dogs, everybody.
You know what the problem they had? Who knows? Emily, this is something people don't think about that don't live in Southern Florida. The problem they had after one of the big storms that went through down there, where there was a massive flooding, was alligators and snakes in people's backyards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. The wildlife comes out during a hurricane down here. There's gators everywhere and stuff. Yeah. No, and the roads get so wet that they're fairly impassable for a while, even after, you know, a decent storm. You have to be prepared to just be stuck in whatever, wherever your barn is. You know, for Irma's, Palm Beach Equine have passed out flyers, you know, PSAs to let people know kind of really what they actually needed to do for livestock and hurricane preps. And, you know, they tell you food and water for 2 weeks because, example, the place that I was at before, is a good friend of mine, but he stayed down there this year, and they're on city water. So everybody, pretty much all the other places have pumps. And so we're going to lose water for sure.
Yeah.
So we gotta have that, you know, even if I just have it on a normal number, I've got 10 with two people, that's 10 trash cans outside of each stall that's filling them all up. You know, it's going to be exciting, but like I said, I mean, clearly I'm not that sick because I'm already doing it and I'm sustaining. So we're going to see. I'm feeling optimistic, but it's not to be taken lightly at all. Everybody needs to, and they are. I guess that's why I feel a little bit better, because remember we were talking around Irma and nobody really was, and that was a little concerning. But everybody, all the horse people down here, they're taking it serious. So,
well, the good news is, yeah, 3 days for this to change its mind and go someplace else. The bad news is, if it goes someplace else, it's liable to hit further north, and we'll get it worse. So,
I know.
So one way or the other, Florida's getting it.
Like try on too, you know. You just never know. And unfortunately, with horses, it takes so much prep. You can't get this done in 3 days. It takes every bit of a week, you know, to organize and get materials. And everybody's doing it. Feed stores run out. New shipments come in. So I mean, we just are. You all are probably doing the same thing. Somewhat preparing.
Yeah, we are.
Or you're waiting.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. There's no question that's happening up here too, because it could change, and we could end up with a Category 2 right over Ocala. So.
Right. No, exactly. That's it. Some of them. Absolutely. Well, so yeah. Are you going to, you all have a barn, or you're moving horses?
Yeah. We'll move to Charlotte's again if we need to. So.
Okay. That's good.
So that's
got to have that.
That's like a bunker over there. We're not worried about that. So, well,
yeah,
Emily, you take care, and I officially give you a week, and then your Lyme disease can come back. Okay.
I know, right? I'm flipping the brakes for a week, and I miss you all. I want to get back on our show jumping grind there on the radio. I really am getting better.
All right, good. Well, thanks, Emily. You stay safe, you and Caroline down there in Wellington and everybody else in our Wellington family. So stay safe.
Hang in there,
Thank
sister.
You. Keep you guys posted. Thank you, guys. Talk to you guys. Bye.
All right, let's head over next to some audio that we did 2 years ago, right before Irma hit Florida, with Dr. Jimenez. And you know her. She used to be on this show on a regular basis, actually. She's the one that helps everybody and trains everybody what to do in disaster preparedness. And then we have John Haven of the Florida SART, which is the Search Area Rescue Team, something like that. And he's coming on. We'll introduce them during this segment that we did 2 years ago. We're going to play that for you. Then we're coming back with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products to talk a little bit about hay. That was recorded on recent Phillips show, the dressage show, but it was a good discussion, so we thought we'd do that as well. And then some really bad ads after that, so stay tuned. Dr. G is with the Technical Large Animal Emergency Rescue, and it's been a while. We're so glad that you could come on such short notice today.
Well, I'm sorry that we're having to look out there into the Atlantic and look at a pending disaster, but I certainly am glad that you guys are trying to promote evacuation and talking to some of your listeners about what they can do to stay safe.
I got to tell you, and we'll bring John on here in a second, but I got to tell you that I think there were more horses moved in Florida than any other day in history yesterday, judging by all the Facebook posts and all the things we were seeing. So people are taking this seriously. Judging by the lack of water and soup in every store in the state, they're definitely taking it seriously. And you have a guest on that can help us with this today, too. Can you introduce him?
I absolutely can. I was very lucky to get John Haven. He's the director of the University of Florida's College of Veterinary Medicine. He has a special interest in hurricanes because back in June 2004, he had just joined the College of Veterinary Medicine as their director. And immediately afterwards, he had hurricanes Charlie, Francis, Jean, and Ivan hit the state. And of course, he is prior service military. So I'm an Air Army person. He's an Air Force person. We sort of make fun of them, Glenn. But apparently his Air Force training was sufficient. And he was very good about getting together with the Veterinary Medical Association, the State Veterinarian's Office. And they were very successful considering four hurricanes hit their state in 1 year. And since then, he has taken it very seriously. He has gotten training for his people. He has provided training within his state to firefighters, veterinarians, USAR team members, which you guys have a lot of USAR team members, by the way. I think you have 7 state teams. And along the way, he got on some technical rescue standards committees for the National Fire Protection Association. And is getting the fire service to take large animal rescue very seriously. Now, today, we're not really talking about large animal rescue. Hopefully, we're not going to have to talk about rescuing anything, because we're going to try to motivate you guys to get your horses and, of course, your cattle, too. But it's a horse show, so we'll talk about horses out of the state of Florida and into safety.
All right, good. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for joining us. Now, John, you know, we were helping horses move a little bit yesterday with what resources we could dig up, and Facebook was going crazy. I don't know how people ever moved horses before Facebook, actually. But what are you seeing? What's your feeling? It does appear that people are taking this pretty seriously here in Florida, and I think thanks to Harvey, that's why that's happening.
Harvey was definitely a wake-up call for everybody. Florida sort of sticks itself out there in the middle of the ocean like a finger anyways. And fortunately, it's been since Wilma, since we've had a really hard hit. And Wilma was pretty devastating, especially down there in South Florida, which did have a fairly large horse community. And Wilma, if folks remember, actually strengthened as it crossed land and went out into the Atlantic. So that was a very unusual storm.
So what are you seeing? We were hearing about tons of horses that have been moving from South Florida, especially the Wellington area, up to our area in Ocala. You know, so what are you seeing? What do you feel should be happening at this point?
I think from what I heard yesterday, the Southeast Livestock Pavilion was full, and OBS was still taking horses in. I don't know what their status is this morning. I always do like to see them come out of the impact area. One of the rescues that we did for Hurricane Francis was South Florida horses that moved up to a facility east of Orlando but west of Tampa that it turned out was in a floodplain. And, you know, as the storm changed directions, what seemed like a great place to take the horses ended up with us getting 20-some horses out of near chest-deep water. So making sure that where people are taking their horses will, in fact, remain a dry and safe location. A lot of the injuries we saw when we went to Hurricane Wilma were barn collapse injuries. So again, if they're going to go to a facility and put them up, making sure that it's out of the storm path. Right now, that path is still kind of moving around a bit. Hopefully, it's going to keep moving back towards the east and out to the Atlantic, and we'll just get a good brush. But it's so big, it could still be pretty bad. So those that are putting them in barns, you know, that is one of the ultimate concerns there.
Well, you know, we always have that argument.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Jimenez, we've had this discussion 1,200 times. Do you leave them out to fend for themselves, or do you put them in a barn? This argument's been going on since horses and barns existed. So what did we determine?
I'll give you the short answer, Glenn. You're right. That is a huge issue, and it all depends on how much space you've got and whether or not, you know, if you've got a 25-acre pasture with options, such as they can go into the runouts, they can go into the woods, they can go into a low area in the woods where they can choose. They are smart enough to take care of themselves. But if you're putting them into a quarter acre paddock in the middle of an open field, they don't really have a choice. And so at that point, you either evacuate, which is my preference, of course, always. But if you're going to put them in that barn, you got to make sure, who was the person that built that barn? Is it well engineered? Is a structural engineer involved in the building of those barns? Some of those places in Florida are absolutely gorgeous and are very well built. Masonry structures with good overhead. But some of us, you know, and me, myself included, I am the general engineer, the general contractor, et cetera, for my buildings around here. And I didn't find anybody professional to do that. So
yours are a little crooked, like the ones we built. Is that what you're saying? Yours are a little crooked.
Yeah, mine are just running sheds. That's all it is.
Reed, you know, not up to code.
Thatch roofs,
no, ma'am. And in Georgia, you can do anything you want, as long as it's an agricultural facility.
Yeah, I live just north of Ocala, and on 7 acres, and I've got a barn, and my horses will be out in the paddock.
Oh, you'll do it that way? What kind of barn do you have? Do you have a concrete block or do you have a stick?
It's slightly nicer than the one that Rebecca's talking about, but not by much. So they will be safer outside.
You know, the problem we have at our farm, I want to mention this because it's a problem we have at our farm and most Florida farms have. We have 98 live oak trees on this farm. So every pasture has live oak trees. The reason we take the chance on bringing them in to a stick-built barn, I mean, it's pretty well-built, but we bring them in is there are branches coming down all the time off these trees during storms. Mm-hmm. Live oak trees are terrible for shedding large branches, and we're afraid of them getting hit by the branches or these trees. You know, live oak trees just come down for no reason at all. So that's what we worry about. So in our case, you know, it's like one or the other, right? I mean, it's...
True. And that really comes down to what is your, okay, so if that's your plan, what's your backup plan? If something goes wrong with the structural integrity of your barn, how do you get into it? Calling the firefighters in normal situations would be most useful because it's pretty dangerous to try to break into a collapsed structure. But honestly, where are the firefighters going to be after this hurricane? They're going to be saving people. They're going to be doing their job, which is human life first and animal life is after that. So do you have cutting equipment? Do you have friends with tractors? Are you going to be taking the pieces off that barn to try to get down to your horses? And that's the kind of questions we try to get people to realistically ask themselves. Are you prepared to do something like that? Do you have the equipment? Because saying, I need to go to Lowe's and buy it, that's not a plan. You've got to have it in hand, ready to roll with a plan and people who know how to use that equipment safely to be able to react to that. Otherwise, I say put them in a trailer and come north. Let me talk a little bit about, since many of your folks are coming towards Georgia, I just got off the phone actually with the Georgia Department of Agriculture. As you can imagine, we are looking very hard at some options for folks coming out of Florida. And they are updating their websites on the Georgia Department of, Glenn, I actually sent it to you on a PM on Facebook, what the link is in case you want to share that. They're updating their list of where people can go in Georgia. As you know, the state veterinarian's office made an excellent decision, in my opinion, to waive the requirements coming over the border of Florida to leave.
Do they still have to stop? Do we know that? That's a question we had earlier.
No.
You don't have to stop.
Okay. They do not.
So I did go ahead and confirm with the state veterinarian's office this morning. Don't have to stop going out, but remember, coming back, there will be a narrow window of time to get the animals home before they reinstitute the standard policy. So if you don't have your Coggins, if you don't have your health check, if you don't have all the other parts and pieces, you won't be able to get them home.
Good point.
So
absolutely.
That's got to be part of your plan.
Yeah. And we are actually, they are putting together a list of some of the veterinarians here in Georgia so that people will be able to get health certificates to go back in as well. So there will be some excellent resources from the Georgia Department of Ag. They told me that they are already looking at activating their state EOC and getting the people that are going to have the answers to put that stuff out as much as possible. I know that they have also relaxed the requirements here in our state. Normally, we also check if you're transporting horses, but they're going to relax that today as well.
And Alabama has also reduced their standards. Okay. For coming in.
Good. So, all right. So now the horses that are left.
Can we talk a little bit about what? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the horses that are left here. Now, how do we mark them? What do we do?
Okay. If they absolutely just have to leave them, I'm a big fan of a freeze brand on the outside and a microchip inside so that you can prove ownership in case they end up in your neighbor's yard, down the street, those kinds of places. Obviously, good pictures today. One of my peeps that I was talking to this morning, she's a photographer, and she reminded me, you know, please go out there today and get excellent pictures of your animals with you in the pictures so that you can prove these are your animals, and especially of all the little whirls and little special places on your horses. You know, Glenn, I have some black walking horses. They look like everybody else's black walking horse.
Yeah.
So you have to concentrate on the places that look different so that if you ever had to prove ownership, you want to mark them. Some people have been using things like livestock crayons to mark their phone numbers on the side of the horse, braiding an ID tag into their mane.
That's what Jennifer does. She braids that. We have the chips and she braids that in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So multiple ways of identifying your horse. Don't forget about their eyes. We're talking mostly about, 185 miles an hour, Glenn. Those are just crazy. That's a class 3 F3 tornado. And for minutes to hours, not just the 30 seconds that a tornado usually comes over. So we're talking mostly about flying debris. And how can you try to protect your animal? Some people have been saying, I want to put a blanket on the horse. Well, if you could do that right before the winds get there, maybe so. Maybe there'll be enough ventilation. But I would be concerned that if you put it on the animal in 90-degree heat in Florida in the kind of humidity that we've got, maybe your animal would end up suffering more from the heat and humidity than it would how many injuries it prevents. But I do think that eye protection is a good idea. Putting some kind of a fly mask on your horses to protect their eyes. As we all know, a horse that is injured in his eyes is very difficult to treat and very expensive.
Also, if you have a chip.
Well, that's where even here at the university, it's here at UF, we've got a great ophthalmology department, but it drives me crazy seeing people who's trailering down the interstate and they don't have fly masks on, but they got the doors down and the horse's head sticking out.
That always drives me crazy, too.
it's 70, 80 mile an hour wind throwing objects into your horse's eyes.
Yeah, by the way, your dogs can get that, too. I just want to throw that out there as their head's sticking out the back window.
That's true.
Hey, I wanted to say, while we're talking about this, if you have a chip and you have not registered your chip, you can go to found.org and register any brand of chip for free. So that's one of the things you could do today.
You bring up an interesting point on the microchipping, because a lot of the microchips, especially if your veterinarian puts it in for you, when the vendor sells them the chip and then they resell it to you, in a lot of cases, the information is the veterinarian's information that's in the database regarding that chip. It's not you until you go log on and put your information in.
Okay.
So you really need to go update your chip info. Otherwise, it's not very helpful.
Got it. Now, I guess a couple of other things. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up, Dr. Jimenez? And especially, we have thousands of horses now coming to Ocala. We usually, by the time a storm gets here, usually it's down to a tropical storm. We get a lot of wind. We get a lot of rain. We'll lose power. Obviously, if you don't have a hand pump, you got to get water ready for all those horses that are here. You better be pouring buckets of water.
That's exactly right. I always use the example of people say, I'm going to get the fire department to bring water. Well, 1,000 gallons of water, if you have 100 horses and they drink 10 gallons of water a piece each day, that's 1,000 gallons of water right there. So that gives you an idea of how much water you're talking about. And you really do need to have those resources ahead of time. The only other thing that I was going to add to the discussion on what to put on your horse would be, I do like the use of a breakaway type halter just in case the animal does get loose. He can be more easily caught by anybody. I don't like leaving lead ropes on, but I do like having a breakaway type halter, either a leather halter, breakaway type, so that if he gets his head caught on something, it will break off of him. But that would be the clothing that I would put on my horse. With some leg wraps to protect him, something on his eyes, and a halter. That would be all the clothing that I would put on my horse.
Okay. All right.
I think the other thing that we really need to emphasize is that, we're talking about our animals, but don't forget that as you're moving your animals, if you're evacuating them, please make sure you've done your homework to do the maintenance on your vehicle and trailer before you leave, because if you don't have sufficient fuel and you end up getting caught in the traffic, you're going to be a statistic. And that can happen for many reasons. You can boil a tire. Do you have a way to deal with that tire? If you run out of fuel, if your floorboards give out, you really need to make sure you do some maintenance, fill the air on your tires, et cetera, before you leave. And if you don't know, take it to a tire place and have them check before you leave, because I would hate for people to be stuck in evacuation traffic because they had some maintenance problem on their trailer. And then you're standing out there with the wind picking up, and what do you do then?
I got to tell you, too,
for those that don't evacuate.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
If you don't evacuate, remember immediately post-storm, do you have the ability to fix any of your panels if they're down to help keep animals in or get them back in? But also remember, as the water level comes up, snakes and other animals are not going to be where they normally are, because they too are looking for dry places. So moving around, you need to be careful for yourself.
Texas fire ants, prime example.
Yeah, exactly.
Floating on rafts that they make themselves.
Yeah, that grossed us all out. I got more. We talked about.
I went into my feed shed right after Hurricane Matthew came through, and I opened the door, and there was a nice little rattlesnake inside, and it was like, this is not good.
Welcome home.
And, welcome home. Yeah. So, he was up on a shed that's up elevated off the ground, and I'm still not even sure how he got in there. So, again, being really careful. You just never know what you'll find.
All right, and don't forget about...
A really good example.
I just wanted to throw this
in. I've got a really good example from Brevard, Glenn, if you've got one more minute.
Yep.
There's an equestrian center in Brevard County, and they actually posted last night on Facebook. They basically said, hey, we're hiring transport vans, and we're moving these horses out of the state. And those of you that own these horses, we hope, quote, nothing would make us happier than to have every one of our owners mad at us for wasting their money evacuating when the storm actually goes far away from our home and our evacuation site. And I think that's the kind of attitude we need to have. It is better to spend some extra money, move your animals, get them to a safe place, and then go, damn it, the storm went somewhere else, instead of having to deal with the kinds of things that you're seeing after Hurricane Harvey. That is an absolute disaster. There are horses that are suffering. There's people that are euthanizing animals that are very loved and members of their family because they failed to plan. So please, if you've got the opportunity, you've got a couple of days to still make plans, get out of there, get on social media, get on websites, start looking around. Where can you put your horses? Where can you put your family? And do the right thing for you and your horses. You'll be able to sleep better if you know that they're in a safe place.
All right. I already mentioned John earlier. We'll end with this. I mentioned some resources. There's a Facebook page that is designed for people to find homes for horses, and they're all talking to each other, and it's actually kind of going crazy. It is the Florida Equine Evacuation Locations. That's the name of the Facebook page, Florida Equine Evacuation Locations. It is a private page, but they're accepting everybody immediately. So head on over there. There's a lot of posts on there right now about trucks and trailers and where to go and people offering their homes and their barns. John, where else can they go in Florida for this information?
Out on the Florida SART, the FLSART.org website is where we maintain all of our information for agricultural emergencies.
Okay.
And people can actually see what's on the page itself, and they can also register as a member of the public and get updates of what's going on. So that might be interesting.
Well, thank you both. Dr. Jimenez, what's the website for your organization as well? And by the way, I hope nobody has to use what you've trained them over the years to do, and that's rescue animals.
Oh, absolutely. What they can do is we are actually accepting people onto our page too. Normally, this is for professional rescuers. We consider it to be a study page, but it is on Facebook. If you type in technical large animal emergency rescue, you will get the group and you can ask to join, and they will ask you some questions as to why you want to be a member. But we've had quite a few people join recently, and we are promoting evacuation and places that people can go to and distributing that kind of information. Otherwise, they can also go to the Georgia Department of Ag website. They are actually updating that for all the sheltering information across the state by the end of the day. And their phone number is 855-327-6829.
Very good. Thank you both for joining us today. We really appreciate this. And let's hope this baby makes a right turn and just heads off into the ocean. That would be the best thing that could happen here.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
You know what? And if it does, and so all much, these Glenn. People have evacuated, they have had good practice, right? This is practice.
That it is excellent practice. That's exactly right.
Yep.
And thank you so much for promoting this, Glenn.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Well, there you go. That's how to get prepared for a hurricane. You can just hopefully you're already preparing, and this is just late news for you. We will, as far as our plans for next week, we're not supposed to have a show on Monday because of the holiday anyway. We're going to be dark. Jamie's supposed to be here on Tuesday. Obviously, it all depends on whether we're here on Tuesday. So we'll have to play all that by ear. I will tell you that I will try and put out and just do a recording or two as we're going along and put it out on the Horses in the Morning feed. So even if it's just me giving you guys updates on what's happening, I'll try and do that as we go along. I don't know how long we're going to be able to leave our equipment set up, that we're going to have to start tearing down and getting ready for windows breaking out and things like that. So we'll try and at least do that. I will be doing a Facebook Live from the hurricane because apparently people are demanding it. So I'll probably be doing that, at least showing you what's happening. That'll be on my page. So you can find it on Glenn Hebert page. I'll make it public. And that's the plan. We might have shows next week. We might not. We'll have to see if we have power or not. If we get hurricane force winds and 20 inches of rain, we will not have power. So,
not to jump in, but weren't you supposed to be introducing Karen?
And now I'm introducing Karen. I wanted to give everybody an update of what's happening next week before I introduce Karen. So Karen from Kentucky Performance Products, and she was on the Dressage Show talking about hay. So Reese and Philip are here with her.
We are so happy to have Karen Isberg, Kentucky Performance Products President, on the line and our regular guest now. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here.
And we love having you. And we have a really important topic that I don't think we think about enough. So let's get to it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm ready. I wanted to talk about hay today.
I love
you
it.
Know, hay is the foundation of your feeding program. I get very excited when I talk about hay because hay is so good for your horse. You know, he really needs it. Like I said, it's the foundation of your feeding program. You should never be feeding any less than 1% of their body weight in hay. And in fact, 1.5% to 2% is that optimal amount. So, and I'm just was kind of going to ask what you guys, what type of hay you feed, and then we could talk a little bit about the energy requirements for a horse and then how different hays may address.
I love it. Well, you know what kind of hay we feed. We have a hay source that's right around the corner from my farm. And typically they have some really quite decent orchard grass, some timothy, sometimes a little bit of clover in the hay. It'll be interesting to see. They did not have a great hay crop this year, so it will be interesting to see what happens for us. We may be looking for other sources, but so we feed a pretty local hay. And as Karen can tell you, at my barn, we do not have the problem of skinny creatures. If anything, no. it's like, Karen, how do we make them skinnier? But I am a free choice hay kind of girl. You know, being from Kentucky, I like our horses out as much as possible. But and I feed as much hay as possible. But that gets to be a bit tricky depending on the horses. Then we have some metabolic creatures. So at our house, that's kind of what we feed. But you know, I'm very lucky because Karen's at our barn every day, and when we get new hay, I have her look at it.
Yeah, so it's fun to be able to look at the different hays that come in, and then we kind of decide, depending on what the hay looks like, as to whether or not we need to feed more or less to meet the requirements of the horses. So it's always exciting.
Ours is pretty good, but this year our hay, we had a lot of rain when they were bringing up the first cutting, and our hay source for the farm had trouble getting hay up, so they even said, Reese, it doesn't look great. And I said, Karen, it doesn't look great. But they all seem to be eating it, and nobody is skinny at our house. So I think sometimes you do have to make concessions. I mean, it's an agricultural product. And again, we do not have picky eaters at our house. So we're doing okay on this load, but it doesn't look great. But, you know, it is.
No, I mean, when you have to wait to cut the hay like that, then you have a little more weed in it, and you have a little more mature hay. But like you say, for your barn, where you have a lot of easy keepers, even though they're in hard work, they're relatively easy keepers, and they seem to maintain themselves really well on this more mature hay. And I don't see that you have. You've got one horse in there that is a thoroughbred that's a little bit more of a struggle to keep weight on, but she's getting some additional alfalfa cubes, and so that's really helping her.
Right. So we give her some additional. We know that, but she's the only one. The rest of them are incredibly easy keepers.
Yeah.
Which
no
does bring blood. In some other, but does bring in some other issues. We've got some with hay nets, the nibble nets, because we want them to eat as much as they can, but we can't 100% just give them free choice. So that's one of the things
right.
that we
you want
do.
Them to. You want to slow them down so that they have hay to eat through the day, but that they're not eating this huge quantity. And the nibble nets work really well for that. Does slow them down. What about you, Phil?
Yeah.
What kind of hay are you feeding up there in Canada?
So I have to say, I think from our region, I think we have some of the most beautiful hay in the world.
Yes.
You know, I've toured around. And so we are on Timothy alfalfa mix most of the time. Some grass hays as well. Our summers, we will get sometimes, usually two cuts. So if you need if a horse needs a little bit richer hay, then we can have a little bit of choice about that. But this year, I think we're getting beautiful hay. And we normally, when they take the hay off, we'll take a bale and we'll do a little hay analysis just to confirm some things that we know by look and by smell and by just to figure out that it, you know, what kind of grain we're going to need to be supplementing just in case. So we like to do that just kind of once a year. We have great local sources, you know, basically neighbors from all around that will supply the hay. And if we say we need a little bit more Timothy, they've got a field for that, you know, a hay coming off for that. Really knowledgeable farmers as well about hay, about horse hay in particular, because, you know, large dairy industry around. So, you know, the dairy hay would be a little bit different. And then the beef cattle hay would be a little bit different. But, you know, longtime sources who know what we like and what we need and are very experienced in getting dry hay off that goes into our barn.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I have to say the quality of hay that we can get for, you know, what I think is a reasonable price. So
talked about having a hay analysis done, and that's a really good thing to do, and it's really not that hard to do. There's a company called Equine Analytics out of Ithaca, New York, and they do hay sampling from just all over the country. They're very easy to work with. You can go on their website. They explain exactly how to take the sample, and then you can just send it to them, and then they'll send you back a report. They're very helpful with helping you understand what the report says. And it just gives you some good information about the vitamins that or the minerals that might be in your particular
hay. Get a protein level as well. That's something we look at.
The sugar level, the NSC level in there. And that just kind of, like you say, Philip, it kind of helps you. You know, if you've got it was a really good year and you got a really high protein in your hay, then you may be able to feed a lower protein in your grain, depending on, you know, what your horses need.
Yeah, so it's really adjustments. Helpful to there's, do yeah, that. There's nothing going to be like crazy mm-hmm. out of whack, but it sort of gives you mm-hmm. a good guideline. And then when we have our grain people come in and talk to us about, you know, well, they always say, do you get your hay analyzed? Because they're a bit crazy about that, which, you know, gets us on it and make sure that we can provide stable supplementation for the horses that need it and all these great things. Okay. So, yeah.
And I thought I'd just kind of give you some numbers because a lot of people are like, well, you know, people understand calories and calorie counting within themselves. I mean, a lot of people are doing that now. They're counting their calories. They're careful about what they eat. And, you know, you don't always hear, you know, people look at me and go, how many calories does my horse need? You know, so I went and I looked up some numbers that I thought were interesting. These are all based on 1,000-pound horse. But 1,000-pound horse that isn't working, so in other words, he's just kind of hanging out in the pasture, a normal horse, regular, kind of middle-of-the-road metabolism, needs 15,000 calories a day just to maintain normal body weight. An easy keeper needs 2,000 less calories a day. And a hard keeper can need up to 16,000 or more calories per day to keep themselves in weight. So that, you know, there's quite a difference there when you're talking about, you know, maybe you have a horse that needs, you know, 1,500 or 2,000 more calories a day to keep their weight. So that's when, you know, the different hays come into play. So like your alfalfa hays or your hays that are heavy in clover can range anywhere from 1,100 kcals per pound to 1,000 kcals per pound. And your grass hay, like our grass hay, Reese, that we feed, is probably somewhere between 850 and 900 kcals per pound. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeding, you know, 15 pounds of it, you know, that can be a big difference between how many calories your mixed grass hay is mm-hmm. providing versus your alfalfa. You know, so your mixed grass hay at 15 pounds, which is 1.5% of a body weight of 1,000-pound horse, is providing 15,900 kilo calories a day. But if you are feeding a regular grass hay that's just, you know, a little bit more mature, then that's 13,600. So there's the 2,300 kcals difference in that horse.
Right. Yeah. Something to think about it.
And that can make
the
difference between a skinny horse and a fat horse.
Yes.
You know, that's
absolutely.
So it's a good way to make up calories. I think if you have a horse that's a hard keeper, the first thing that you should do to try to put condition back on them is to get a better hay that has more calories in it, because that's the healthiest way for your horse to gain weight.
And what about, Karen, like, for example, at my barn, the majority of horses are easy keepers. And the one that isn't, you know, we feed her alfalfa cubes. And what do you think about supplementing? So if you are at a barn and maybe you don't like the hay, what are some supplements, you know, options that you have?
Well, you need to go ahead and make sure that you're feeding at least, I like to go with 1.5% of their body weight in hay. So even if it's a hay that they don't like that much, or that, you know, they're eating it slowly, or it's not keeping the weight on them, make sure you feed them that level of hay, because they need that fiber going through their gut to remain healthy. And then if you, you know, you can feed a concentrated feed with that, depending on what your horse needs. It can be a regular feed or a low sugar, low starch feed. And then if your concentrate plus your hay isn't keeping the weight on the horse, that's when you turn to a fat supplement like our Endure Extra or our Equijoule. And I think Blue in your barn is on the Endure Extra as well to kind of help.
She is. And that's
fantastic, just a real concentrated source of calories. And the fat is a very safe source of calories for horses because it doesn't cause those hormone spikes that can give them problems, and it doesn't escape into their gut and cause problems. So fat
and
is
that's a very good
energy supplement. Yeah.
And what about
alfalfa
cubes? Alfalfa cubes or pellet, hay pellets, do you suggest those?
Yeah, but you have to look at them. You have to look at the pellet. So depending on what the pellet is made of, so like a Timothy pellet or a Timothy cube is going to be less energy dense than something that has the legumes in it, that has the alfalfa in it. So when you're looking at increasing your horse's energy level with a cube, make sure you look at the cube itself and decide which one is most appropriate for your horse, because they're not all the same. Usually you can find a Timothy cube, a Timothy alfalfa cube, or a pure alfalfa cube. And I like to soak my cubes just because you don't have to necessarily, but I like to soak them because it just gets a little bit more moisture in them, less chance of them choking on it. Same thing with pellets. You know, you have to look at the pellet, and not all alfalfa pellets are the same. So you'll want to look at the protein level on the alfalfa pellet, and you'll want to look at the fiber level on the alfalfa pellet. So that, you know, the higher the fiber level, the lower the energy level typically. So those are the things you want to look at when you're looking for a supplemental source of fiber.
Fantastic. Well, I love it. Well, hay is a huge source of, it can be good and bad, but I think that hopefully this is a good Hay 101. And Karen from Kentucky Performance Products, you are so fantastic. Like I said, I am lucky because Karen's in my barn every day, so I have great resources. But Karen, if somebody needed to chat with you, how can they find you online?
They can go to our Facebook page and either do a private message or leave a question on the Facebook page itself. You can call us. We're open 5 days a week from 8 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. And the phone number is 859-873-2974. Or you can go on our website and you can email us. There's email addresses on underneath the contact area. You can email me directly, or you can email us at info@kpp.com. So there's lots of ways to get a hold of us, and happy to answer any questions that folks have.
Well, unfortunately, everybody, Jamie had to bail out on us as her storms hit, and she was getting massive lightning and really didn't feel comfortable having headphones on. And I don't know if they're having tornado warnings or what's going on out there, so it's kind of ironic. This is an all-storm day here on Horses in the Morning. So we're going to have to pass on really bad ads for this week. We'll save them all for next week, so if you submitted a really bad ad, we'll just put it in next week's show. We certainly appreciate you joining us. As I said, we're not sure what the schedule is going to be next week. It'll depend on whether we have power and what the status of the storm is. I will keep you informed. I'll try and put out at least a short recording or two on the Horses in the Morning feed. And please do keep an eye on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page for whether we're going to have shows or not. So keep an eye on that on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And I'll also try and post it over in our auditor room as well. I will try and do a Facebook Live from the storm. I don't think we're going to get it as bad, but who knows? It could change direction. So that could be fun. But we'll definitely keep you informed, and thank you for all of your thoughts for everybody here in Florida. Keep us in your thoughts and prayers, and keep all the horses and animals in your thoughts and prayers as well. Well, terrific weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, whenever that might be.